Hey, everyone, and welcome to Led or Misled. My name is Jerry Welter. I am your host. I'm also the author of the book, The Navigators, with the subtitle, Led or Misled. And in this podcast, we challenge the question that we all face. Am I being led to my destiny or misled to my destruction? And today in this podcast, we're going to be talking about legends of destiny, because we have with us today, our navigator is a legend in the making. He has battled, and we all love a good comeback story. Come on. He has battled addiction, mental health issues, depression at exponential just experiences, and has come back and is now ministering to thousands through music. And we just love the underdog. And so today, without further ado, Josh Hutchison is with me today. Josh, what's up?
Hey, man, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we're glad to have you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about last week we had on Mallory, a.k.a. Mallory B., your wife, yes. And you both are in music ministry together. So kind of what's that look like today, and kind of fill us in on what's going on with Josh today, and then we'll kind of go back to the backdrop of your story.
Man, today, I could have never imagined it. Mallory and I have been married a little over a year, October 14th, maybe a year. We've been doing ministry together since the day we got married, traveling the country. We launched our nonprofit, Narrow Path Ministries, right after we got married, and that kind of took off quickly as well. And we've just been walking through doors that God opens, spreading the gospel and hope through our music, as well as our homeless outreaches and prison ministries and things like that. So our day-to-day life is ministry every day. We've been blessed with the opportunity to not just be saved from our bondage and chains of addiction and stuff, but today we actually get to serve a purpose for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and it was no exaggeration ministering to thousands. And we were just talking prior to getting started here how the phone's blowing up, you can't keep up with the calls. You're doing this it's a nationwide tour right now, right?
Where you're going? So yeah, we do nationwide outreach, and we have different events that are set up every year. We just came off a tour in the winter, so we're not actually touring right now. We're just have our set dates for the year, but we're fixing to have outreach at the beach here in South Mississippi. That's an annual event. There'll be a few thousand people here out on the beach with a bunch of homeless folks who need the love of Christ. Wow. And then we have an event in May called Crawfish in Christ, where people come and it's an all-you-can-eat crawfish festival.
Crawfishing.
It's a little different, though.
Nice.
People are used to crawfish, and they associate beer with it here. At our event, you're getting crawfish and Jesus, man.
So crawfish and Christ, man, that is so cool. You can't go wrong.
So we are very busy, though. Yeah, it kind of is a national tour, though. It's kind of set out every year. We're blessed to be able to come up to Indiana. We do recover a lot of different events that bring us in every year. So
awesome. Yeah. And you guys are, you've done some work with Get Sober, Stay Sober. Yeah. Shane Earhart runs that, and his brother,
RJ.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
those
then,
are good brothers of mine.
And then you were also on Brianna's Hope. We got to give a big shout out to Brianna's Hope, because they help get the guests on here. And yeah, and Randy Davis and them.
I'm sorry. They'll be down here for outreach at the beach. The ladies are coming down. They're going to go into the prison system with us and minister to the women in there. So.
Oh, that's right. And when is that? That's coming up real soon, right? Isn't it?
Is 2 days after outreach at the beach.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Wow. That is so cool. So let's kind of go back to kind of the dark days, you know, we've all had them, and that's kind of what Led or Misled is about, how we were misled at one point, and then our lives come to that crucial intersection where we run into Christ and it changes the trajectory of everything. But let's kind of talk a little bit about the backdrop, because your story is kind of, I can really resonate, because my parents were divorced, and I know you're going to be sharing that and the absence of a father. So let's kind of tell me a little bit about that beginning.
Yeah. So, it's really like age six where my first memory comes in, and it was pretty traumatic. My parents were obviously hurting from things themselves and didn't have a relationship with Christ. So there was a lot of mental, physical, emotional, verbal abuse in the home. It led to, you know, infidelity outside the home, adultery and things. And I was exposed to it being the oldest of three boys. So, it just kind of confused me at an early age. And then there was some abuse outside of my home from an older individual on me that I didn't understand at that age either. And when my parents divorced at 10, it just got worse, honestly. I didn't see my dad for quite a few years, so there was abandonment issues I didn't understand. Mom still broken and hurting and seeking, you know, a man that's going to treat her right, and it was just a revolving door. So I just bottled all that up in and continued to not be able to, I felt like I couldn't speak up. Yeah. And that turned my heart hard, to be honestly. Yeah. And I had a lot of hatred at a young age, didn't understand the world. Felt like, you know, was there anybody else out there that was going through this? Is this just me? I felt isolated. Yeah. And the enemy grabbed a hold of me at a young age and made me feel that way. So at age 15, when I started using drugs, it was just an explosion into addiction and so much other sin, because what it did for me in the beginning was I didn't feel the pain anymore. And I bought into the lie that I found the answer, that I'm going to be able to do this and run and be okay.
I got to stop you. Like you said, bought the lie. Isn't that the lie Satan sells to everybody? There's something out there that can satisfy you apart from God, whatever that is. That's the lie that the Bible talks about. The lie, singular, that there's something out there that will satisfy apart from Christ. And it's not there.
Yeah.
And you and I, our timelines are pretty close too, because it was at age 15 when I began to rebel. When my parents divorced and my dad had died, and I got bullied a lot. So I didn't encounter a lot of, that was my abuse, was just getting bullied day in, day out. I have to go 5 blocks out of my way just to go home to avoid getting beat up. And then without a father, I directed that towards God, because I had a little bit of, my mom was in church. So what did you have any kind of relationship with God where you were like, hey, I'm blaming God? Where did you channel that?
So what's crazy is my parents were teachers and coaches when they were still together. So I was going to Christian schools when I was young.
Okay.
But I got confused, because what I was told about God and what was happening at home, it didn't make sense. So yeah, I got angry at God. There was times that I was using for a lifeline, you know. I've even spoke up when I felt like when I realized that he was my savior, that I was spitting in his face, because there was times I was so angry at him. I would curse God. Why are you doing this to me? I don't understand.
So you said you would curse God, and I know that, you know, when we bring this up and we air this, there's going to be somebody listening thinking, I've cursed God. And, you know, we get hung up on that unpardonable sin, like, oh my gosh, you don't know the things I've said to God, but I know the things I've said and thought, wow, it's beyond. And you're just sharing that too.
Just being transparent.
Yeah. And did that weigh on you a little bit, or how did you know?
When I had the revelation of how he had been there the whole time, and that he was showing me what he saved me from, I just broke down crying and said, please forgive me, Father.
Gives me chills, man.
And I think that was the first moment that I really understood that I had a father in heaven.
Yeah,
you know, separating that from the earthly father and understanding that I can forgive my earthly father for, you know, forgive him for they do not know. He didn't have a relationship. But now I had that relationship with a good, good father. I understand, like, why he waited. I had to go through some things. I had to learn these lessons and why he didn't bless me in certain times, because I would have messed the blessing up. It just started to just reveal itself right in front of me, and I understood.
Man, you're ministering truth right there, because I was just talking with a guy yesterday in recovery, and he's like, what about that blasphemy or speaking evil against God? And I said, look, man, you know, when God comes at you and he's showering you with that love, that's right there. You know that you wouldn't have that if you were ostracized from God and he was done. You wouldn't have that experience. And you and I are witnesses right now that God's love encompasses, surpasses any of that. I mean, if we want to come home, it's because he's bringing us home. He's not holding that against us. And you were speaking.
He forgives and forgets.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And that's what we were talking about.
We can't do it. We can forgive, but we don't forget it. He's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have that bandwidth. We don't have that capacity. Or in today's world, it's like, well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. You know, thank God he doesn't treat us as our, even says man. It. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Man, we have such a merciful God. So I didn't want to interrupt your story a little bit, but I thought, man, that was a great juncture there to probably minister to a lot of people on that note. Because, how many people are suffering that guilt? Like, well, yeah, I want to come back, but now I can't because you don't know the things I've said.
Not
and you
true.
went into some dark stuff. So that addiction prison. You want to hit on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I started at 15. By age 18, I was in full-blown addiction for a few years. I was already committing crimes for my addiction. I was in and out of jail and juvie, selling drugs, doing drugs. I had my first overdose at 18.
Now, did you, were you brought back, like, did you have to be resuscitated or Narcan, or what was that over?
So it wasn't heroin back then. It was a mixture of being up for 7 days, ecstasy, LSD, pain pills, different things. And the ventricle in my heart collapsed and blood was having to force itself out. So I was on the verge of my heart exploding. They hit me with a bunch of nitroglycerin. Okay. And then eventually it got me stable. I passed out. I woke up the next day, I saw my mother's face. I don't want anything to do with you. Took off back out to the streets. You fast forward from there, man. I was in a 10-year opiate addiction. My son was born in 2006, and I was struggling with that still. It was a daily struggle. I couldn't get out of the bed without a handful of pills.
So you say you have a son?
Yes, I have an 18-year-old son.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So I did not know that until just now.
Yeah. And, you know, I thank God that he didn't go down the path I did. You know, he has his own struggles. He's a teenager. A lot of hurt from, you know, what dad did, what mom did, too. But today we have a relationship, so I'm thankful for that. But he was born, and I was struggling with the pain pills still. And everybody, you know, throughout my life, you need the Lord, you need the Lord, you need this, you need that. And I'm just like, whatever, you know. I got the answer. I'll cross addict to methamphetamine. It'll help shorten the detox. And then that just manifested. Not long. I'm in prison for manufacturing meth. I come home. I go right back to the streets doing the same thing. Then I went back to, like, prescribed Adderall, Suboxone, different things, trying to, like, at least if I have a prescription, y'all can't tell me anything, you know. Right. And the whole time my mental health was dwindling and dwindling and dwindling, and these diagnoses that I really had were compiling on top of each other. And eventually I had been labeled every diagnosis there was but schizophrenia at that point, just about. And then in 2018 I'm intravenously using. That's where things took a major toll and downward. I ended up jumping off a bridge. I had over 10 mental institution stays in 17 months, 40 hospitalizations.
Jumped off of a bridge.
Yeah.
So what was there water below or train tracks or what was underneath
there was
the bridge?
Water. It's called Lake Pontchartrain. It's the Twin Span. And if you're in Louisiana, you look it up, it connects the North Shore to the South Shore to New Orleans. I ended up landing flat on my back. It was a really high jump. They had to rescue me by boat. I was bruised head to toe on my backside. It's by the grace of God, man, that my phone worked and I was able to call for help. And I had never looked the story back up. But when my wife looked it up, everybody that has jumped off that new bridge they built since Hurricane Katrina has died.
Man.
But I did not.
Again, the grace of God. Your heart jumped off of a bridge.
I could see him there when he revealed it to me. I could see him there.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a moment of overdose and woke up in a puddle of blood. My head was the size of a basketball. And later, it didn't happen at that moment. I mean, I knew in that moment when I woke up, when I came to, that God had given me a second chance. And then I found a scripture in the Bible where it said, as you were lying in your blood, I passed by and said to you, live. Man, I just broke down. Like, it's amazing how God, when we think God is so distant from our darkest moments, but nothing could be far. And he's right there.
Right there the whole time.
It will be amazing when we see how many chances we have had. And no one's going to say, God, you never gave me a chance. Like, that won't even pale.
It was daily that I was overdosed in hospitals and stuff. And just at one point going like, why am I not dead? You know,
how long was you in your addiction, Josh? How many years?
23 years.
23 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ended up having 6 different felony convictions in and out of county and parish jails and prisons most of my adult life. Got involved in gangs and things, man. But in the end, I tell people, everywhere I was searching for love and freedom and all and healing and all this, through the drugs, the relationships and everything, in the end, none of it solved my problems. It was only the love of Christ. And that's why I do what I do today, because there's so many people out there that are heading down that broad road. And if I can be a voice and say, hey, if you don't surrender to him now, this could happen to you. And I mean, I was a mental case in the end. I was the guy that was, people said, was fighting invisible things in the road, walking down the road. I'm having fighting spiritual battles, hearing things, seeing things. I carried a bag of medications with antipsychotics and everything you could think of just to have a hope of a stable mental day. And that's why I do what I do, man. I want to let them know that, like, look, that's not going to cure you. It's not. It's going to kill you. It's a lie.
Right.
It's right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's, I had an encounter with him, bro, and the love of Christ.
When did that happen? When was that moment?
So July 20th, 2020 is when God really started speaking to me. He said, I'm going to use you for music. I'm going to restore your relationship with your son. You know, give you that wife, give you that daughter that you want. And I'm sitting there with a bag of dope, you know, and I'm like, I'm thinking I'm going to kill myself. Or what do? I start talking to God. He starts talking to me. And next thing you know, at 3:30 in the morning, I meet some complete strangers through social media. And they're like, look, all that stuff you're talking sounds good 10 years ago, but we have a recovery organization. We want to help you. And I'm like, what? So I stepped into their home for 6 months. And then from there, I went back out and I had a relapse for about 3 weeks. And it was May of 2021 that I had a radical encounter with Christ. And man, it just changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know anything about demons and that side of spirituality that Jesus cast. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And in that moment, all I know is that the light of Christ came in. I had that encounter and I saw, he let me see, pulled the veil back, and I seen the legions casted out of me. And just the love of Christ poured over me in that moment. And then I felt an internal pain that I started trembling, and I said, what is this? And he said, what you're experiencing is just a glimpse of what I went through on the cross for all of mankind. And I told him, I said, it hurts, Lord. Life hurts, everything. I don't think I can do this. And he said, yes, you can. I've been here with you, and I'm going to be here to walk it out with you all the way through it. And I have a purpose for your life. I've already told you. Now I want you to get back up and go tell people. And I've never looked back since then, bro. I never touched that stuff again. I just, bro, I got up and was like, what?
Yes, sir. Like Paul, yes, sir.
I'm a Jesus freak now.
Just like Paul, yes, sir.
And you know, when you say that, so I had vision problems from the overdoses, the seizures and things going on. And so I had physical and spiritual problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was blinded in that moment by Christ. And then over the next few weeks, he was just pulling back the scales and he called me to another program. He kept telling me this brother's name. I called him. He's like, hey, bro, I've been praying for a guy to help me. I want to open this program. I have the center. I need a first disciple in here. I'm on the way. And he was just pulling back the scales and I began to see the world differently, bro. And then when I read the word and the Saul Paul thing, I was like, man, this was my walk to Damascus.
Line
and
right
when
up.
I got here, he healed me, bro. He gave me my vision back. He gave me my mind back. I mean, people were afraid of me, bro. Right. Rightfully so. I mean, they were like, he's going to kill somebody or kill himself. And I was battling so much that I couldn't be around people. I went there and I continued to seek him and got in the word. And this brother just discipled me. And I put down all the other sin in my life. The drugs were gone, but I had character flaws, right? There was other things there. I had to put it all down, the women, the language, all these things, and he restored my mind.
So have you been, I can relate to, I put down the drugs and stuff like that, but the character flaws, I've struggled with, man, I guess it's the sanctification. Would you say it's a lifelong process? Like we just don't wake up one day to have it? Because it's like, I was so badly, like I can be running 100% and then like, just get derailed by something stupid. I get hung up on watching my science fiction movies, or sometimes it isn't something, it's not even a bad thing. Sometimes a good thing just gets right there in the way of the best thing.
True.
And it's hard.
You said it's a process, though. And I think about when you said Paul, too, I think about the thorn in his side, bro, that he talked about, you know.
Yeah.
And knowing that we are not perfect, it's progress, not perfection, and it's a process of sanctification. Those things keep us close to God, man. It
That's
reminds
a good
me what
point.
He's done for me.
That's a good
and
point.
And if we pull that thorn out, we're going to bleed out anyway.
Right.
Think about it. Like, oh, it's all going to come out. So if it's there and it's stopping it, and I know that he's the one that I, man, it's just going to keep me close to him and
it
remind
makes
me that, hey, just keep seeking him.
Absolutely. Because you hear a lot of people say, you know, I just want people to just see Christ in me. And a lot of times, and I've thought about that, and I'm like, yeah, I would love that too. But then again, I've been thinking, he's in a class all by himself. I mean, we can reflect his, hopefully reflect his character
the
and
image,
things like that, but he's still in a class all by himself.
Yeah.
He has got all by, I will never be like that, but I want to have his character. I want to be conformed to his image.
Yes.
But I got to keep in mind, I'm not him. I think people see him the most in my life when they see him shining through my brokenness. What do you think?
Hey, we is strong, bro. Yes.
Yeah, when he can see that, hey, look, I'm a broken person, but he's shining. And we don't live in sin. I'm not saying that at all.
No, no.
But when you can see that he's strong where I'm weak and that I was broken, made whole, and it's him in me living, I think that if I brag about all the things I can do, you're not going to see him. I don't think that's
I can't do anything without him.
Exactly. I think it's through our brokenness and transparency that we really shine the light, you know, and like, hey, I came as I was. And I love it when, because sometimes people feel like, well, when I get it all together, I'll go to God. That's like saying, well, I'll take a shower once I'm clean. It's just not going to, it's just not logical.
I say that all the time. Like, you don't take a shower. You don't clean yourself up before you get in the shower.
Yeah.
That's not how this works.
No.
He cleans us up.
You got to come broken, man. That's like, how we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
We overcomplicate it.
We know that now, though.
Yeah.
And that's our job, is to meet people right where they're at. In their brokenness, meet them right where they're at. Like Jesus would show them that love of Christ. You know, I believe that's what's going to transform lives, break bondages of addiction and so many other things. When we start meeting people right where they're at more and showing them what Christ did for us, instead of pointing out their sin and their flaw and you're going to be condemned, or, hey, you can come in this church, but, you know, until you clean yourself up or do X, Y, and Z, just kind of sit in the back. No, man.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
No,
it's not gonna,
that's not what the Bible
we don't bring them in and then ostracize them when they got it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope my hope too.
Eat some fruit, you know, looking at the heart.
And I'm hoping that, you know, once we get this thing uploaded on these, you know, social media platforms and stuff, to some parents out there that have younger, maybe, you know, even adult children, because I know what that's like, who are out there and they think that, man, there's just no hope for my kid. You got no, but we are like, you people like you and me are like, think again. Yeah, there is hope. Because, and even people at church might say, kind of think that they might be beyond that. And how much hope can come from a platform like this? You know, like, look at what God did with Josh. I mean, heart failure, suicide attempts, 23 years in addiction, you know, intravenous, you know, to the brought to the place where no one thought, no hope. And God's like, all right, now I'm going to shine the light.
Amen. Listen, if you think that it's gone too far, then you're putting God in a box. He's limitless. Like, to think that he can't move. He's still moving mountains. He's a way maker. He's a worker. Like, that stuff has never stopped.
Yeah.
And if we just believe, just have faith. Like, my mom prayed for 23 years that this would happen.
My mom, same thing. And I always got to give credit to my mom. And sometimes I forget that she was on every, she said, I got on every prayer chain I could find. And she goes, the devil wants my son. He's not going to have him. And so she's just, and I know that's why I was so miraculously delivered. I was in my addiction high when I had my first, I would say, real eye-opening. And I knew it was God because I was scared to death. I mean, like, right out of my high, like, hey, what is going on?
That's exactly
tears
right.
flowing, people, like, what is happening?
I've had people say, though, well, you were on drugs. That wasn't Jesus. There's no way that he would, you know, do that with you being on drugs. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what he would do.
Yeah.
Was like literally sober me up in the moment and let me know I am who I say I am.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, right. You don't have to wait on no man. He can, what's that? No, he can bring you right out of your eye.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You can set the Narcan aside and watch what I can do.
You know, I do want to say though, my mom, you know, prayed all those years, even though she struggled with her relationship. You know, I don't believe she was saved through those years at all, but God still heard those prayers. And I just want to mention too that today I have healthy relationships with all of my family. Like my mom and dad, after 30 years, can be in the same room together with their spouses, my brothers, their kids, everybody. It was insanity, bro, until I met Christ. And I remember crying out in the end of my addiction when I realized that I needed a savior and that I wanted to be used to bring restoration in my family from both sides, because it was so broken for so many years. And bro, he has done that each and every day through my music, through my walk, through continuing to tell my family about him and just, you know, loving them. And no matter what they say or do to me or anybody, just loving them through it.
Yeah.
Like Christ would, bro. Today, like, we just shot a music video recently and all my family was at this birthday party together from both sides, and there was no punches being thrown. Wow. You know, everybody was happy. But the Lord told me he was going to do that. Man, I'm going to use you to bring restoration. And man, he doesn't break promises.
No,
all these things he said he was going to do, today I'm doing it.
He is faithful. And I think,
my daughter, everything.
I think you're on the rise too. No, you're fine. I interrupted you. I think your journey is just beginning. You know, I can't wait to see where you are like 5 years from now. You know, I see God doing, I mean, he's doing big things, but I wonder if maybe you haven't even really, if we haven't really touched the surface yet of what's ahead.
Bro, I just try to live in the moment and not get ahead, but I do like to think sometimes like, wow, you've already done so much, but what's in store, God?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, I look at some
just
of those.
Trying to be obedient.
Look, like I was telling Matt, I don't listen to rap, but I saw your video, that Journey one, and I'm like, man, I like this song. And I mean, if my heart's turned, I can only imagine what God's going to do with that platform. I mean, really, Josh, that was just an amazing job with that.
I appreciate you, man. And you know, he gets all the glory. I'm just the vessel he chose to steward the platform. I want people to know it's all him. He's the reason I have breath in my lungs, that I get to wake up, that I get to do anything today. And I'm just so thankful that I have a relationship with him today, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's all his. And I just want to continue to decrease so he can increase. And that's what he's told me in this season is just decrease and let me increase. So.
Wow. And then he'll multiply.
He'll multiply.
Those efforts, yeah. So you're going into the jails, and so as we bring this down, I want to get, you know, how people can find you, what's going on. But right now, you are going into the jails, and I've seen some videos too where you actually bring your music into the prison, minister to the guys there. So do you?
I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, what's that look like? Do you have a pretty good list, or is there just one certain particular prison you're going to that you can get in, or do they let you in multiple? Isn't it cool though? You were in prison, now you're going back in, bringing the word. Like,
man, I tell them when I go in these jails, I'm like, if you think that you've gone too far, I'm a 6-time felon with like 20 felonies wrapped up in all of these convictions. And I walk into federal prisons, state prisons, county jails as a free man today and get to minister.
Yeah.
It just brings hope. So to answer your question, we're able to do about 10 different jails and prisons over 2024. My wife and I are now chaplains in my hometown county jail.
Oh, wow.
So we go in there once a month, and then we do some Mississippi prisons, Georgia, different things, man, wherever, Indiana. Wherever God opens a door to a jail, we're going, because we know that he's needed in there.
So as a chaplain, do you ride with some of the police officers or minister to any of the officers or anything like that?
Our heartbeat, Mallory and I personally, I can't speak for all chaplains, but I can speak for our chaplain, head chaplain, and our staff. We go in to the jail, we minister to the inmates, but we like to love officers as well. So we did a Christmas event where we got to feed the entire jail and do a concert. Oh. We also blessed the officers with Christmas, veteran-based coffee, energy drinks, snacks, different things. We're going to host a crawfish event for them in May. Just officers, warden, sheriff, and their families, and just let them know we love them too, and thank you for their partnership with us.
You know, at our jail, that is not a testimony.
At our jail, the warden's philosophy is if we can reach one. And on my interview day, I said, "What did you just say?" He said, "It's all worth it if we reach one." I said, "Bro, you're on my team, because that's what I say every day." And so, yeah, man,
that's awesome.
It's again, we're blessed to be in the position, and God has clearly shown even people that want to deny Him, they can't, that this is all Him. How does somebody who, you know, is a 6-time felon, should be dead, is walking into prisons now?
Telling
doesn't
you,
happen.
Yeah.
You know, unless God's in it.
Yeah. If you can't, I mean, that is just exactly, you hit the nail on the head. Like, there's your miracle right in front of your face. That just does not happen.
It doesn't, man.
And what other religion? I mean, even, it's just, yeah. So God opens doors. He opens doors. Yeah, doors that you think there's no way. Like he says, I've got the keys.
Right, he's just looking for willing vessels. It's not about, well, do I have enough money? Do I have a dependable enough car? Do I have this? Man, he's looking for a willing vessel.
To do the impossible.
That his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven, man.
Yeah.
If you'll just say, hey, I'm yours, use me.
Yeah, and I was thinking of Revelation when he says, he opens doors that no one can shut. I mean,
that's exactly
and
right.
He can open shut doors too. So,
that's exactly
and prison
right.
doors. Well, hey, as we bring this in for a landing, give us a little bit of your contact information and stuff like that. And then there's a song we're going to be playing for the outro. You want to tell us a little bit about that too?
Yeah. So that song just dropped yesterday. It's called Strolling. It's the first time that I've really done anything outside of rap or rock, singing a little country. So it dropped yesterday on all platforms. You can find it on YouTube under Clean Slate Music, M-U-Z-I-K. Same thing as Facebook. Instagram is clean_slate_music, spelled the same way, M-U-Z-I-K. And you can always find out information about us on narrowpathms.com.
Awesome. Hey, Josh, man, again, Legends of Destiny right here. It was great having you. Great to get to talk to you and get to know you a little bit more, man. I've been blessed. I know there'll be people listening
who are
definitely going to be blessed, man. So, all right, man. Love you, man. And we'll
be
in touch.
Talk to you soon, brother. God bless you.
Yep.
Bye. And ever since that day,